Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Gentlemen, Mr. Nick Anderton this week. Nick Anderton, give me some clubs.
Preston, Bristol Rovers, Carlisle, Accrington. Is that it?
I think so, yeah.
Obviously, career curtailed shortly. Shorter than what it should have been.
Buckle yourself in for this one. It's for me, an inspirational story.
100%.
And the detail that he goes in, the journey he's been on. It's
incredible, really.
Yeah.
Just to be so positive as well.
Yeah.
Because I think on the day that we recorded was the day of his 6 month check.
Right.
He had his check that morning. So obviously he's turned up still.
Not knowing full of what beans. The results are.
Yeah, what a guy, by the way. Are, yeah. What a guy.
Lovely lad. Big fan of the podcast.
Yeah.
Always helps, doesn't it?
Yeah. And they've already listened.
Oh, and just before
he's a Patreon.
We do get Nick in, he is a Patreon. And thanks to everybody who signed up recently. Quite a few comments, people saying that they didn't realise who was on and they're enjoying them.
They didn't realise that they could get it on the telly.
Yeah.
After I announced it last week.
And you can match up with your Spotify as well now. So you get them through your Spotify, if that's what you use. So 100 and...
I bet there's 130, maybe 140.
Extra episodes. Price of a coffee every month, two extra episodes.
Good value, so, yeah. Very good value,
massive
isn't it?
Thanks
even if we say so ourselves.
Yeah. See, I think we should put it up, me, but...
Man of the people.
So yeah, so let's get him in, eh?
Let's get him in.
Only
Mr.
a quid.
Nick Anderton.
Only a quid. Only put it up a quid. I'm sure everybody'd be happy with that.
I've seen the video of, you know, the York City when the fan apparently comes on and scores. And who is it? We know a number on the shirt.
Sean Newton.
And you give one of the opposition players a little ruffle of the
I don't know if it was a ruffle or a clip, but or a ruffly clip.
Who was it?
I think it might have been me. I was definitely on the pitch, but I think it could have been me, yeah.
Sorry about that.
You're all right. You're
it was late, bastard. I was old and bitter then.
There's no need for that, is there?
Yeah. Never meet your heroes.
They always turn out to be arseholes, don't they?
Were you a big Preston fan growing up?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. I mean, it was more so when I was a scholar, like when I was younger, I used to like footy, to be honest. My dad was a Rovers fan, Blackburn, so I used to go and watch them a bit. I'd watch North End a little bit, but when I signed for North End in the academy, like, I followed North End ever since then, yeah.
So we'll have gone by the time you did your scholar. You signed in 2012.
Yeah, 2012 I started. Yeah, I think you'd gone...
2010, 11, maybe, we left.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, just before, yeah.
Left a big hole in the changing room.
We did, didn't we? But a lot more Buffy. A lot more of the dinner.
Okay, now spring is good times there.
Yeah. So who was the manager then when you signed as a YT?
So first team manager was Graham Wesley, just come in.
Much interaction?
Not, well, nothing to be honest. I do remember first year scholar, played a reserve game for him. And we wore the first team's kit. So I'm like, just started, obviously, got a lad's kit on. Not my name on the back, because I didn't have a squad number. So I had Bailey Wright's kit on, 26, Bailey Wright.
Oh, so you actually had the names on the back of the shirt?
Yeah. So I was playing at Springies, Bailey Wright against Blackpool, I think. And there was a lad on trial, I was playing centre-half, lad on trial next to me. First time I played for reserves, a little bit nervous and that. So I'm like playing and that. Just after 10 minutes, it just clicks, this fella's going, righty, pushing righty. And I'm like, and I think, fucking hell, he's on about me. And then after that, I kind of realised I had to say, like, I'm not righty, lad, but, you know.
Come the righty foot next hour.
Yeah, and then it was all right after that. But first 10, it was a little bit, that was my settling in game.
Who was your youth team manager then? Because we had Jamie Hoyland and stuff. Was it still...
Jamie and Rammers giving me my scholar, but then that summer they left and Grezza and Chris Lachetti came in. But it was that summer, I think Grezza had just retired.
Ah, right.
So he came in.
So you had Graham Alexander and Chris Lachetti as your...
youth team. For 3 or 4 months, and then they took the Fleetwood job.
Yeah, neither on my Christmas card list.
Graham is though, isn't he now?
Graham Wesley. Oh, yeah. Right. He got a nice Arab jumper blessing for Christmas this year.
He got all his forgiven, Graham.
Who else are you coming through with?
My age was Josh Brownell, who's at Burnley now. Yeah. Year above was Ben Davis, who's at Rangers.
So did you never really get to interact with any of the first team lads or just...
So in my first year, I think Wesley stayed the full season, I think, and then Simon Grayson came in. And then it was like a few more lads went up with the first team then. So my second year scholar, I trained with the first team quite a bit. Did 2 years as a pro at North End. But as soon as like pre-season came, I was nowhere near it. Like, so I went out on loan, yeah. I went to Gateshead first in the conference for a month because one of their players was injured. And then I went to Barrow in Conference North.
Did you feel like you improved in that? Obviously non-league, but
yeah,
first team football.
I'm 100% so happy that I did that and that I didn't play for a 23 side, because I feel like, well, I just wanted to play games, and I thought, got to the end of my 2 years pro, and I broke my leg that season, so where I missed. Hung on at Barrow away at Leamington, it was. Fella, a bit of a freak one, fella throwing, rolled me inside, and I've kind of stepped in front of him, and he just fell on me and just landed and snapped it. But it's funny, so I was in ambulance, because it was Conference North, like, no name in that on the back of the shirt. I've gone to A&E. And they were just going to, like, just stick a pot on it there and then, like, weren't going to, like, do an op or sort it out and stuff. So, luckily, I kind of said, like, I'm on loan from, like, Preston. They rang Jacko up and was like, Jacko was like, no, like, getting back up kind of thing. And I had a good op and stuff. And thankfully, it was all right, because I might never have played if I'd have had a pot.
Is that what they would have done? Just stuck a pot on it and hope for the best?
Yeah, they were going to do that, yeah. Because me dad were there, yeah, they were going to do that. But, yeah, no, and then I went on loan again. Back to the conference. I went to Aldershot for a couple of months and then back to Barrow till the end of the season. I played 30 National League games then that season. So then I got let go at 20. And I think I'd played 40-odd men's games. So I think, like, when going back to talking about, like, playing men's footy, I think if I'd have been let go at 20 and not played a game and, say, played a 23s game, I would have been stuck then, I think. And I signed for Barrow on a perm that summer in National League. And it was just playing every week, really. And I think I...
How old are you, 20?
I was 20 then, yeah.
Are you mum and dad's? Or?
Yeah. Well, yeah, mum's still at mum's there.
And are they paying you enough to...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was more than what I was on at North End. Like, it wasn't massive money, but it was decent. It was, I mean, well, decent for that age group. And, yeah. You know, I think it was on about 500-600 quid.
All right.
It's all right, isn't it?
Yeah. Fucking hell, that's fucking Shangri-La at 20, living with your mum, isn't it?
To play, and then if I played a certain amount of games, it'd go up 50 quid, I think. So,
good student night as well, wasn't it, in Preston? So I bet you were.
Yeah, it
were
decent.
Sean said Ledger told us that, actually. I never went myself, but
no, I don't think I ever did.
Oh yeah, I once went out with the first team when I was at Preston, and fucking hell, gone out, and I was proper like thin at that time. Like, I'd say I was busy now if I look back, but I had to be, really, to kind of try and make a career in it. So, like, I was at everything right, like, body fat was low and all that, so it didn't really take much to get me pissed. So I remember going out, I didn't know how I got home. So I get to the next training and I'm a bit like, anyway, I must have said to someone, I can't remember who said it, said, oh yeah, you got out some traffic lights, said you didn't live far, fucking 2 miles away from my mum's house, yeah. Got out some traffic lights and walked 2 miles and ended up at home, but... No, so then after that, I was a little bit like, fucking hell, I need to go easy on it.
So did you try going with the big boys then? The older lads?
I tried to, yeah, and not a chance, no. Absolute.
Who will that have been?
Who
will that have been in the first team?
Joe Garner was there then, when he was flying. Great lad. Lurdy would have been there. I remember we went somewhere, and that year, like, being a young pro, because there was obviously no 23s, anytime we'd go on a Christmas do or pre-season, I just had to sing. I'd done it once, but they just made me sing all the time. Just, I can't sing for shit.
Getting on call. Like,
but I can't sing for shit. Just made us get up. Just because I was the youngest lad. I think I must have got up 5 times that season.
You never think, I tell you what, I'm going to turn this on the head and tell him to fuck off.
Well, yeah, I just had a good crack, that with me. Though. I just
different song every time?
Stand By Me, I think I sang.
Good, easy option. Yeah, that was mine. I only ever did it once.
Because, like, the more, like, clubs I was at, and like, there was Oasis bands at a lot of clubs. You couldn't sing Oasis. So I think that was a band at Preston. You're not allowed to sing Oasis. So I'm thinking, shit. I weren't great at it. Probably crucified it, but you can give it a bit, can't you, without trying to...
See, I nailed it when I sang it.
Did you, fuck? It's all in the effort, innit?
Yeah.
It's all in the effort.
So were you very much of the mindset of, once you'd signed at Bury, I'm going to Barrow, I'm going to whip my way back up.
Yeah, I just looked at it like, at that age, the amount of games you play at that age, when you get to, say, if you're out of contract or like, you know, to 23, 24, if you've played 100, 150 games, if that's possible, in National League, clubs in League One will take you based off the fact that you've got that experience, yeah, as opposed to being at a bigger club but playing for a 23s. And plus, I had the experience of playing against fucking men.
Men.
Mm. Did you get, excuse my lack of knowledge, but did Barrow get promoted while you were there? Or were
the year I broke my leg, they got promoted from the Conference North. And then I played 1 year in the Conference and then went to Blackpool from there.
See, I want to terminate this interview now. Preston North End fan.
It would never happen on our watch, would it?
Signing for Blackpool? That's filth.
But at the time, it was
new
the
challenge.
Agent I was with at the time, and it came in, and I thought, well, I want to play higher up kind of thing. And
I'm only joking, mate. I'm only...
No, listen, I know what you're saying, though. I mean, I've been peppered about it quite a lot. To be fair, when I signed for Blackpool, it was when the owners, I think, you know, Oystons were there. It wasn't a massive fan base coming to the games. Obviously, it's a huge fan base, but coming to the games, there weren't, you know, a big thing around the club. A lot of fans were boycotting. It was 3,000-4,000 at home games in League One, as opposed to when I was there. I played the last game under the Oystons and the first under the new owner, and it was like, I think it was 4,000 and then 15,500 the next game.
Did the Blackpool fans know that you were a Preston fan?
Probably not.
You see, going to say you're a Blackburn fan then?
I just sat on the fence. I didn't say I supported anybody.
Gary Bowyer?
Yeah, Gary Bowyer, yeah.
It was good. Dream.
It was good. I mean, I got along with him well. He didn't play me much, like, but he was good, you know, good man. He was straight to the point. You know, they'd just been promoted from League Two, so a different level for me from coming from the National League, but I think the level isn't as big as what you'd think in my eyes. I don't think it's that much of a huge difference. Certainly, Conference to League Two is not that much of a difference. League One, as I played in it a bit, and bigger clubs and stuff, but Conference League Two isn't.
Do you realise that, though,
by the amount of times people go again?
Yeah.
They get promoted and then...
It's not very often that somebody who gets promoted from the National League to League Two struggles and goes down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good experience, that first season. I mean, I learned a lot probably by not playing as well, really. I think I only played 12 games in all comps, about 5 league games, I think, that first season in League One.
And then
I did try to in Jan, yeah, and he said I wasn't allowed. And then I came on off the bench.
You're not allowed?
No, not allowed to go on loan. I wanted to go on loan. Not that I weren't allowed to play.
Don't you dare.
Knock on that door. Yeah, not that. No, I weren't allowed to go.
And then
I think I came
on
a game and then window shut and now we're nowhere near it. And then I went to Aki the next pre-season on loan then. They'd just been promoted. Played every game in League One till Jan. So I think I played 20-odd, got recalled.
So you actually played in the same league as Blackpool?
Well, Terry McPhillips was manager then because Gary Bowyer left after the first game, and I went to Accrington, and that first half of the season we did really well. Like, was above Blackpool, and then I got recalled, and then I played 10, so I think I played 30 odd, and then Terry McPhillips triggered my option, and then he left 4 weeks into pre-season, and then Simon Grayson came in, who released me when I was 20 from Preston.
Right.
So I was just a bit like, and then I broke my leg again in training, so I was out till the January then.
Yeah. But you've done well, because if you're not playing, you've gone on loan to say Accrington and done well. So you've stayed like people's...
That was a season before. But I'd gone to League One, which was best loan move I could have hoped for. And fucking what an experience. Like, it was good. Because they'd just been promoted from League Two that year when them and Luton were going toe to toe, and they won the league that year.
And then innit?
And then that year we was in League One, Luton pissed the league with near enough the same team, but they come up with Aki.
So Aki beat them in League, beat
Aki
them to the league in League
Aki
Two.
Aki won League Two, yeah.
So then they've gone League One into the Championship straight away.
Luton have, yeah.
And then 2 years in the Championship.
No, we're talking.
That was I signed for Aki August 2018.
Oh shit! Sorry, sorry. I'm thinking of Luton in the Championship. The first, I'm forgetting how young you are.
You're thinking of Steve Howard and that.
Yeah.
Aren't
you? Fucking hell!
I'm thinking 15 Luton years ago.
It's probably more.
It is.
It's probably fucking 17, 18 years ago, I'm thinking.
That is mad, that. They had a good team, though. Like, we played them, when I went to Aki, played them away. And Aki had beat them at Luton towards the end of the League Two season. Like, 90-odd minute, Billy Key scored, and, like, there was a bit of, like, animosity between the players, because it was near enough the same squads. But they had like James Justin left back, who then went to Prem Leicester. They had Collins up front, who was bagging goals. Pelly Ruddock, who's still there now in the Prem.
Who's the lad that's played at every level for them?
That's him.
Is that him, is it?
Yeah, he was there. They had a proper team, absolutely pumped us. I got pumped 4-1 there. And they were a good side that year. Very good. But Accrington were fucking brilliant. Like 10, 15 minutes from my mum's house. I was still at my mum's. Single at the time. Literally just got a training. But like...
John, I thought you were going to talk about team, how good it were.
But the team was good. Like I was thinking, like, fucking hell, like, I'm not really playing at Blackpool. Like, I didn't really know what to expect going in. But fucking brilliant play. Like, Jordan Clark, who's scored in the playoff final for Luton, he was playing right wing. Billy Key, Sam Finlay, who I live with at Bristol Rovers. I think who else? Conor Ripley was in net. Signed Michael Iaquy, centre-half on loan.
Was it Sheffield Wednesday now?
Yeah, yeah.
When he got on stage with us and I didn't recognise him, Billy Key.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Leicester?
Yeah, Leicester.
I think I dwarfed him off or something. And he came to whisper in my ear, he went, that's Billy Key, that. Sorry, Bill.
Sorry, Bill.
Great side, fucking hell. Like John Coleman and Jimmy, it was just different than what I was used to. Like, man management was just on a different level. You can kind of see why they got promoted and won the league. Like, some things were just...
Did you ever get the old, give us a tenner and you can have Monday off?
No, they said if I hit bulls aren't dartboard, we could go home. And I hit 25.
Oh, fucking hell, I'd been raging with you.
Yeah.
What do you mean, go home?
We didn't have to train that day if we one at lads at bullseye. But that's really absolutely flying. Three darts. I think it was three, or might have been one.
Each?
No, just one lad. Lads had to nominate, right, who's going to go for
it's
it.
Because like
we used to play darts every morning. If you hit bullseye, don't have to train today.
And would he have stuck to that?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
So you just pick your best player?
Well, yeah. But honestly, the team were brilliant. Playing well, flying. Billy Key once, he'd had a kick on his foot. And this was one of my first games, so I was a little bit quiet and that. And he couldn't get his boot on. Swelled up, foot was in agony. Only boots he could wear were Copers. But he had the gaffer's Copers on. Away at Oxford, scored two, we won 3-2, and he had the gaffer's boots on.
Same size, or?
Same size. Wore the gaffer's boots. Scored two, we won 3-2. Coley's boots.
What were the big thing about wearing? We used to wear Copers, didn't we? It was like a bit derogatory then when you said that. Copers. Well,
be careful what you're saying on this podcast.
Just the studs weren't that long, were they? So it used to slip a bit. That's why I think I wore Copers when I was a scholar.
Who said they were for referees and coaches?
I don't know, but we weren't happy, were we? At the time, did you feel like at this point you were an established footballer?
Yeah, I mean, I was playing left back. I do feel that I should have moved into left centre half a bit earlier. But yeah, I'd played quite a few games, including National League men's games at 23. And I thought I kind of wanted a bit of a different challenge, but option got triggered and then that was that.
How did Carlisle come about then?
So I was injured, actually. So I did my leg in September, I think, or October. And I was just training on my own kind of thing. And then Beachy got in contact with me, who'd just taken over. What's your options? What you want to do? Like, we'll kind of take you. So I was like, fuck it. Like, need to get fit, but I want to play. And they took over my contract, same money I was on, but I think they paid a certain amount till the end of the season. But then COVID came, didn't it? 3 months into that. So I played 10 games there and then it was COVID. Again, it was just, I just wanted to play footy at that time. Well, still every time, everywhere I went, any decision or anything I ever did was just to kind of play as many games as I could. I wanted to look back at the end of my career and look at Wikipedia or something and go, oh, I've played 400 or 500 games. Which unfortunately, I did half of that, but I enjoyed it then. But Carlisle were good.
So again, you played 49 games. Were they League One?
Carlisle was League Two.
Still though, you're playing games, aren't you, at that time?
Yeah, and then I played 10 till end of year, and then that summer I was skipper for the COVID year. So I was captain, yeah.
How was COVID for you all, lads?
I personally, I fucking hated it. Playing in with no fans and stuff. You had different changing rooms and then it went a little bit less. I had to ring the gaffer on Christmas Day and be like, I've got COVID. And we had Bolton at home next day. So he's fucking raging.
So he's the old
coming anyway.
No, to be fair.
Did you feel shit?
No, I had no symptoms. That was the worst thing. I'd done a test, and because he'd done a test and it had come back that he had it and he had no symptoms. So I'd done one. I had it. So ring up, can't play. So then I stayed away and they ended up winning, won a couple. They drew Boxing Day. New Year's. So I couldn't play three games, I think it were. So New Year's Day they won, went top. Then I think we signed a couple in Jan. And then I'd gone back in training after I was clear. And then all of a sudden, everyone just came down with it in the space of 3 days. And we didn't play a game for like 4 or 5 weeks. That just curtailed our season, like four weeks without games. And then we were Saturday, Tuesday then for, I couldn't even tell you how many games we ended up playing. And we were top on New Year's Day and we finished 10th.
Just all caught up with you, playing that many games?
I think it did, but listen, it's easy to use that as an excuse, isn't it? But
big break in play as well, though. Like,
It was. It's easy to use it as an excuse, but it definitely, like, momentum just got absolutely just knocked off. And then that season finished and I decided to leave, went to Bristol Rovers.
It's quite a big move for you in terms of geography.
Yeah. First time.
No, it's longer than 10 minutes from me, man. No, like, I can tell you.
I wasn't at my mum's at that point. I was at Carlisle. I was with a missus and that. And we just had a little one when I was at Carlisle. So my daughter was only 7 months. But I decided the deal was right. They'd just been relegated. So they were going for it. I knew, like, they signed Sam and Yozza. I knew Mangs, who was the coach. Just fancied giving it a go. And they stayed up north. So it's about... It's 3 and a bit hours, no traffic. So I would come home once or twice a week.
Had you got no reservations about signing for Joey?
I went and met him, to be fair. And, you know, I'd known of him and stuff like that. And, you know, I got along well with him. And I know a lot of people have different stories and stuff like that, but he's definitely not as what you see online as much. But he can lose his head, like. And I've been on the end of a few bollockings, a few flamethrowers. Used to get the flamethrower out in meetings and that, or on the pitch at half time and that. I've been scolded a few times there.
Take your eyebrows off.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah. And your kit. Yeah, you could get a flamethrower out.
Have you just got to take it? Do all the lads know that you can't, if you have a go back?
Well, I mean, that was another thing when I was saying about if I'd have been through kind of what's happened, it'd have been, I'm not saying I'd have, fucking hell, I had a kick off. But everywhere in my career, I was kind of, I just took any sort of, bollocking at criticism, even from players older than me whatsoever. That's probably, you know, probably.
Even if you thought that they were wrong?
Yeah, probably. If I disagreed or even, I probably wouldn't kick off straight away. I never kicked off. I mean, I'd probably have a discussion on a Monday and be like, listen, like, whatever. But I was never one of those players who, I wish I should have done that, because fucking hell. Me personally, affected us a little bit. Well, it does, doesn't it? Well, I don't know about yous, because yous seem like the kind of lads who are like, you know what I mean? But I was more like, took everything on the chin.
Did you take it home then?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, I did, yeah. But I'm only reflecting on it like that since I've been ill. At the time, I probably didn't think I was.
I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd have
probably,
done
yeah. Just all, more all so. That, just more so that I probably would have dealt with it better. Yeah. Not in terms of like... Not saying like, oh, fucking hell, like I'd go home and like not speak to anybody and be like all proper affected by it. But obviously, sometimes it affects you. But yeah, I was on the flamethrower. But
did he take what was that thingy? Wheel?
The Wheel of Fortune.
Was it?
The
spins?
Yeah.
Oh, we had great spins, yeah.
What was the, just give us some stuff that was
he
on
had that. On did he have it at Fleetwood, we heard?
Yeah, they had the spins at Fleetwood and he brought it down there, yeah.
What was the crack with it?
So every Friday, so you'd fines all week, whatever, any little fines, flip-flops, little, whatever the captains say or whatever. Every Friday, if you've got a fine, you pay the fine. They're only like little fines, like 10 is 20 quids. You had to spin the wheel every Friday. And then whatever you landed on, you had to do it next Friday. So it's like poetry, like poem, write a poem. So I got in on poems a couple of times. So I wrote a couple of belters, proper belters, like everyone was cracking up. I wish I brought it with me. It was a proper belter.
Would he be in the room?
I'm
trying to picture the, in the meeting room.
Yeah, meeting room, projector at the front, media fella sat there, an analyst fella sat there, everybody's in there. We'd do our Friday meeting, then it's like, right lad, spins. So then bang, it'll come up. I don't know.
It's on the screen?
Yeah, big screen. No, no, the wheel's there. No, we had the electronic wheel. It was on the laptop we did it with. He didn't actually take the big wheel, right, but it was on the laptop.
A couple of girls, like, coming
no,
in.
No, no. He'd had loads.
What have you got this week?
He'd had loads. I've forgotten most of them, but loads. So, say, Nick Anderson, like, no flip-flops. You get up, press spin, whatever it lands on, you've got to do that for the next week. But you used to have some, like, well, you like you had to strip off and go under the sprinklers outside and that for like a cold power shower and like stuff like that. But like everyone had to do it. You had to do your spin or else you had to pay like, I don't know what, a few hundred quid if you didn't.
Was the money on the board? Like if you landed on a thing was £10?
Majority of the fines were all like a tenner. So you pay your tenner and you'd have to spin.
Oh, so you had to do both?
Yeah.
The double whammy?
Yeah. So you pay your tenner and spin.
The fine comes with a spin?
Yeah, the fine comes with a spin. But then once you spin, it was never money. It was like,
but you're
only stupid. But yeah, but like, for they were all little fines, if you know what I mean. Like, to be having to pay a big amount of money, you had to be fucking stupid to. It weren't like you was getting fined on loads of different things. But yeah, Fridays, every Friday was spins.
What's the best you saw? Can you remember? Like, the best. Was singing involved?
Singing.
Would you have to do it there and then?
To the week after.
Always.
So it'd be like singing, so it could be like singing solo or like duet or be like boy band, and then like you pick your.
So were the forfeits always different?
There was loads of different ones. Sometimes you'd land on the same, but there was loads of them. So on Friday we'd do spins, but then like say if little things had like, well, for example, some lad were driving to a game, he got a new car, he was buzzing with it. He stunk a fish on the way to the game, right?
Stunk a fish?
Yeah. So obviously someone's put some fish in his car.
I thought it might have been shagging.
No. Someone's put some fish in his car, so whatever, raging, kicking off. So all media, the analyst lads, they put together like a BBC panorama thing, like a crime, you know, like a crime documentary. So we're all in spins, sat there, didn't know what was coming. Like all the suspects were lined up, the reasons why, who'd accused them of that. Like, you know, everyone's having a good laugh. Next thing, CCTV comes on. So you've got like, Sam Finlay and Luke Thomas running out at fucking clear as day, boot up, lob fishing in other one, and just like throwing them under the bus there. And then it's like no, everyone was like whispering the changes, who it was and that. But no, he didn't know who it was anyway, clear as day, there it was. Oh, fucking hell. It was fucking brilliant.
How did he take it?
He weren't happy.
So lads are laughing and is he like forcing a smile, going bright red, raging?
I think, yeah, he were, but that is just awkward for me, that. Like, I'm with you. Like, I'm not, some lads were pissing the cell, like, don't give a shit kind of thing. I was just like, for fuck's sake, it's so awkward, because it'd been going on for like a week or 10 days, you know, in changes, like, we'd all be in there, and then he'd come in from training, and everyone's like, I'm not saying anything, you know, like, being silent, and then you're just making it even worse, becomes
uncomfortable then.
Yeah, it's just awkward.
But. Can you become a suspect if you've been too?
Yeah, and if you're seen, like, talking to somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, what were you talking to him?
it's like Midsummer Murders, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're talking about fish.
No, it was,
yeah.
Fish for your tea.
And then, like, lads would try, like, say the silly thing, like that, for instance, like, oh, fucking hell, I had this cod last night for tea. Or like, me and Cootsie, I went chippy last night, lad. Like, what do you get, scampi and that? You know what I mean? Just little things like that. Just making it so awkward. And there was, yeah, that was a belter, that. We had a few of them. There was one of them that they did with a fitness coach. Something had been going, I don't know what it were, like, they hadn't been cleaning the equipment or something, and they'd like had surveillance on him, because Joey was big on, he recorded every training session with a drone, so they'd record it all with a drone to see distances and everything like that. So for like 2 weeks, the fellow with the drone had been like following the fitness coach around without him knowing, like catching him like not putting the bibs away or like just fucking off on the sly, like, you know what I mean, like carrying one goal in and then going in or something like that, and they did a full panorama on it. Yeah, he fucking belted and he got to the end and everyone's creasing up. It were brilliant. That season with that group was just best group I've been in by a mile.
But like, he's got promoted that year. And what were you saying? Where were you at Christmas?
I think we was about 13th, 14th maybe, Christmas. And we finished third. But we hadn't been in the top three all season. Until 6 minutes left on the last game.
An outrageous... Didn't you win by... Fucking...
Goal difference, right?
Yeah.
Goal difference, yeah. 7-0 last game. But I didn't play. That's probably why I won 7-0.
What was the permutations? Like, what did you need to do on that last day?
So, Northampton was level on points. Well, actually, it was the week before was the mad one. So, we played Rochdale away. We were getting beat 3-1. We won 4-3. Aaron Collins scored two in the last 3 minutes, I think. We won 4-3. So and that put us fourth, level on points with Northampton. They were third, but they had plus five goal difference. But we'd beat them twice in the season. So then we had to basically better, well, by five. But they beat Barrow away 3-1 and we won 7-0.
Oh, oh man.
I went up.
But hold on, you didn't play?
Not the last game, no. No, because I was...
But is that when our fans come up pitch?
Yeah.
And is that when you're in town on top of...
Yeah.
You're in full kit?
Oh, yeah. I started to stick my kit on, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You just blew Terry out of water.
Oh, fucking hell. Yeah.
You're in town on top of...
It was worse watching it than fucking, I imagine, playing it. I couldn't believe it.
So let me get this right. You're top of traffic lights.
You had to better their result by five.
Yeah.
So they've obviously plus two, you're plus seven, but because you bet them twice in the season, is that why you went up?
Yeah, we finished on the same goal difference.
Fuck me.
And the same points, but we beat them twice. I think that's how it works head to head.
It will,
or will it be so, goals scored? I don't know. It was one or the other.
So do you know as the game's going on, are you like thinking... Obviously, want to know what their score is, but thinking we need to score.
Well, it was so,
three more or whatever.
Yeah. Did you know what the rule was?
Yeah.
Had you got the same amount of goals?
Yeah. Right. But to be fair to Joey, like, I'd been in the side majority of the season, and I played left back, but I signed as a centre half for Joey, but I played left back majority of the season, and I was playing towards the end of the season, and we were really on a good run from January, and it got to the last game, and we had nothing to lose. We'd already secured the playoffs. So he pulled me and another lad who had been playing right back and told us that we weren't even in the squad the last game because he was just going for it. So he played two centre-halves. He played wingers as full-backs. Played 4-3-3. Two centre-halves, wingers as full-backs. Glenn Whelan sitting in front. Two attacking mids and three, you know what I mean? And just absolutely went for it. And it fucking worked.
That's actually outrageous, isn't it?
So I was in the stand, me, watching it.
Kit on underneath you track it.
Following the other game as well.
I was on flash score. Half time, I think we're winning 2-0. And I'm thinking, nah, we can't, surely.
And what were they doing at half time? Remember?
I think they might have been 2-0. They were 2-0, I think. Right. So, and then they went 3-0, but then Barrow equalised. But then we scored obviously five in second half. But we'd scored three within. Before the 70th minute. So we only needed two at that point, I think. I think that's how it went.
Still though.
Are you thinking?
Yeah, but honestly, the way the game, but the thing is, we played Scunny at home and they'd gone down. They'd already been relegated.
And they were shy.
And they'd been playing like lads who hadn't been playing all season. So it was like, they come to us and but we had the momentum from that season. Like the second half of the season was just ridiculous how we played. I mean, we signed a lad from Newcastle in the Jan. On loan, Elliot Anderson. He's ridiculous.
Is it? Somebody asked about him.
He is unbelievable.
Where's he now?
He's been playing in prem.
Squad at Newcastle.
He has been on and off, but I think he's out injured. But he came in, and he was ledge. But then we just changed to a 4-3-3, and I don't know, something just clicked.
When did you get the seventh goal?
84th minute. And that's when we went third for the first time all season.
But that's when they needed the defenders, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking we need to shoot the shot now.
To be fair, the bench, there weren't a defender on the bench. So it was like, literally, he'd proper gone for it. But yeah, worst bit were. So Elliot scored the seventh, Edda. Everyone's on pitch. Like, everybody. Ref takes everyone off down tunnel. So then, the owner's on the mic, Gaffer's on the mic. He's going to abandon the game if you don't leave. So whilst we're in the tunnel... Northampton game ends. So we know we just got to stay, keep it at 7-0. Yeah, but we had 10 minutes left. So they had to go back out and play for another 10.
Just everybody retreated?
Yeah, to be fair, yeah. They just kept it like
well, if you're 7-0 down, you've been relegated.
Like an American football bench. You know, everyone's up behind you.
I was...
I bet you were down on touchline, but it sounds like
it was, yeah. When seventh went in, I was on pitch. Oh, fucking hell. It was insane.
I think that's a better story than ours. And I never thought I'd the Preston when we got in card. I think that's an even bigger turnaround. A 5-goal swing on the last day
when the other team's won 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had heard as well apparently a few of their lads had booked Marbella next day.
The Scunny lads?
No, the Northampton lads.
What's that mean then?
Well, they're obviously in the playoffs, aren't
they? They went in playoffs and they got beat. Oh, they got beat in semis. Fuck. They got beat in semis.
That was nice, wasn't it, to hear that? Fuck you, lads.
To be fair, I had a holiday box when we went. Portugal.
It's fucking. When you go to Sheffield,
fucking. You took your flip flops.
You were on fucking holiday in fucking Sheffield and that night, you come.
Somebody asked about Pam Pam. Is it Pam Pam's nightclub?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we ended up in there, yeah, that night.
Talk us through the, like, what happened from the full time whistle.
So,
when does a tracksuit come off?
No, I'll be honest. You're gonna laugh your tits off.
When whistle goes, are you just...
I think when we got to six, I've gone, it changes me.
Well, put your kit on.
No, sorry. Seven. When it's seven, I've gone and put my kit on.
Socks?
No socks.
Pads.
So I've gone and put, yeah, fucking hell.
Fetch the physio in here, just get the ankles up.
Full lot. So anyway, that happens. Whistle goes. Everyone's on for about 20, 30 minutes. Easy. Into the changes. Then upstairs. Then, like, everyone just kind of, like, started floating off, I think. There were obviously a lot of people's girlfriends and parents and stuff were there. To be fair, my missus was there with Little and her brothers. A few of my mates were there as well. I didn't see them much, like... To be fair, they all come in the changes, and then after that, a few of us went upstairs with the owner and, like, the chief exec and stuff. And then I think the plan was kind of, like, just to go out, but because we've been on the beer straight away, I think five of us started walking from the ground. So we just left the ground and walked. Yeah, walked down Gloucester Road, right? And I reckon it's about 3 miles to Pam Pam's. And it took us 3.5 hours to get to the nightclub from when we left the ground. So me and Aaron walked the full lot. Everyone else got Ubers halfway or whatever. We walked the full lot.
Right, now I'm walking that far in your boots and all.
Oh, no, I had trainers on.
click.
Yeah. And, yeah. Sliding. And, yeah, so we walked the whole way and just any... It was just...
Well, are you stopping in pubs or...?
Everywhere, yeah. Oh, every pub.
Are the streets filled with
absolutely.
Fans?
Absolutely. Literally, yeah, rammed. No cars whatsoever. Yeah. It was mental.
Because they are very fanatical, aren't they, Bristolian fans?
Yeah, yeah, they are, yeah. I mean, Rovers have a, you know, both clubs have a big following, but, you know, Rovers' following were brilliant and it were unbelievable that night. But that whole season, I mean, I've got a few stories, but that night, so we get to Pam Pam's, I think it was Pam Pam's anyway. A few lads are in there. A few lads have been and got changed, a few lads haven't.
Did you?
No, not a chance. I didn't get changed for 2 days. Well, I was still in my kit the next morning when we went for brekkie, but I had, we ended up going there, just absolute carnage. Everyone was there, like mates were there and that. Full slept with kit on, trainers on. Scarf, I think I slept with trainers on that. Scarf? Scarf on, I got given a scarf by someone, I still got that at home. Woke up, I was in a world of trouble. I was rough.
Where were your missus? Did you stop at a hotel?
So I stayed in the hotel with them.
Yeah.
Don't know how I got in. I think a brother took me back. Stayed in there, woke up, kit on, trainers on. We're off out for brekkie in the Ivy. Goes in Ivy, has brekkie, couldn't really eat so much. Then we all met at this pub. Joey come, everybody. Met there all day. Then we had the Players Awards that night.
Still in kit.
No, I've got to change them. Players Awards that night. Great dude. Went out again Sunday night. And then the chairman... books for us to go to Dubai, like for end of season for 3 days. So we ended up going there on the Tuesday. We flew on the Tuesday night and landed on the Wednesday morning.
It's just a squad.
Everybody went, yeah, except the gaffer. And I think it was the physio didn't go, but everybody else went. All the analysts, all the coaches, every player.
And did you know if you got promoted that were going to be happening?
No, not really, no.
I mean, you probably couldn't.
It was like, I think, to be fair, Cootsie
playoffs. I mean, if you went up in the playoffs, would you have?
Ah, oh, right, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, like, obviously, you'd never imagine something like that to happen. But how it happened, it was ridiculous.
Good trip in Dubai.
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
All expenses paid?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking Shangri-La.
Yeah, and Cootsie sorted it out with, I don't know who he put it through. He nearly didn't get there.
Because he was so pissed, or?
Yeah, 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 but...
Is he just is he a messy drunk?
Oh, it depends. Oh, I've got an unbelievable one. So we lived together we used to sound fucking mental. We used to every now and again we'd get in the arena, so we'd just get like body shots only, but we'd spar like in the cliff. We lived in Clifton, we called it the cliff, so we'd have a bit like a sparring session, like body shots.
What, in your house?
Shorts and that, but tops off, body shots only. So like one night, a couple of lads around, like everybody used to come to ours, like in the cliff, watching the footy. Sam's there, not a fella as well. So like me and Cootsie get out in at it, bang, walloping each other, whatever, nothing major, but mates and that. But he catches me with a left hook, right? And I took a knee, fucking felt me rib pop, right? So like Sam's like, one, two, I got an eight count, got back up. Carried on. Anyway, that with that. Anyway, I thought, right, I've done my rib here. So I'm icing it on the sofa with fucking peas and that. This is on a Wednesday tea time, by the way, Wednesday night. We played the night before. This is in February. And we had Stevenage away at the weekend. So I'm thinking, like, shit. Rang the physio the Thursday morning because he drives down from Hull. So he was up at like 6, 7. So I've rang him. I've gone, listen, like, painkillers have worn off. Because I used to have to take a few to play because I had fucking bumps and bruises everywhere. I think I've done something to my rib kind of thing. Like, can you have a look at it? Said, yeah, we'll have a look. So I didn't train Thursday. I had a look at it. I said, well, do I need an x-ray or whatever? They were like, nah, like, if you've done out to it, you've just got a crack on, or if you can't, you can't play. So that's all right, sound. Went to Stevenage on painkillers for 2 days. Tried to train on Friday, could barely run. Played 90 with it and played the rest of the season with it. But for 3 months, it was ridiculous. But it got better after a month. So then I've played on the Saturday. Sunday, I've gone back up north, just gone for an x-ray. Thought, fuck it, peace of mind kind of thing. I can't really do out if it's not. Comes in, Mr. Anderton, yeah, you've got a broken rib. I can write you 6 weeks off work if you want. I was like, I don't think that's going to work kind of thing.
I think he's going
to
watch that.
I was like, I don't think I can take that to my boss. Like, so so I carried on and that with that. So that was me and Cootsie at it.
Did you not get any, like a stray elbow out where took you down?
Time. Yeah, I was in the world. Yeah, oh yeah, fucking hell. So we played Crawley away. Couple of weeks after, Tuesday night, winning 2-0, second half, like under the cosh for 10 minutes, whatever, and I'm blowing, like can't breathe, so I'm took a knee and that. Like to everybody, like, you know, people who watch and I follow, or the fans, whatever, were there, like Cootsie's coming over, like obviously Skipper, you know, to be fair, he's fucking brilliant, one of my best mates, but comes over to me and he was like, he goes down, he goes, that's why you never step in the arena with your uncle. And I'm like, he's like,
get proper up. Captain. Yeah, he's proper like, captain, he's like, there, he's making like, sure his teammates
he's
are
like,
right.
Get up, like, and also, and he went, that's why you never step in there near your uncle, and don't ever try and keep up with me on a Sunday sesh, because we've been out 2 days before, and I tried to keep up with him, and I was in a fucking world of pain. I couldn't breathe. Oh, it was a nightmare. Anyway, I got up, and we won 2-1, but...
Did you tell anybody at the club about the rib were broken?
So there was me, obviously there was me, Cootsie. I told them I broke my rib, but I told them I'd done it on the Tuesday night. No one knew. None of the staff knew for a bit. But we did. But you're saying about team things. Forgot, like, we went to Cheltenham in the March and we've been on a great run. And Gaffer weren't so keen on sending us to Cheltenham because we had Newport that weekend away. They were in top three. I think we just snuck into, started to get in around the playoffs. Anyway, Cootsie had been in and talked to him and he's like, anyway, Gaffer's gone, right, you can go, lads, like, because we'd won on the Tuesday night. He's like, you can go.
So have you gone Wednesday?
We've gone ladies' day, yeah. Wednesday,
with,
yeah.
Did they give you the Thursday off? Or?
No, we had training at 11.
Right.
So Wednesday, we were up there, gets the train. Anyway, Joey texts Cootsie, like, listen, like, I'll get you a drink kind of thing, just have a round on me. Sent him a grand, right? So it was like 80 quid a round. We had a few of us did. Not everybody, but we were well-oiled. And anyway, it was a fucking brilliant day. But Cootsie, we had training at 11 the next day. So Cootsie's come to me and gone like, and come to everybody and gone, right, I'm getting myself off. This is at 3:30. I'm going home. If I don't go now, I won't make it to training tomorrow. Sound. Fucking fair play, like.
There's always a 3:30 race as well, isn't there? Might as well
It might have been before that. Right, get yourself, right, sound, see you later, like text me when you get back kind of thing. Yeah, right. Didn't think nothing of it. So we're all there, meant to be going home after the last race, but I think we had 4 ton left in the kitty or something like that. And we stuck it on Facil Vega, it was the last race, I always remember. and it come in. So I think, I don't know what odds they were. I think like 2.5 to 1, whatever, 5 to 2. So won a fair bit, won over a grand back. So we're thinking, fuck me, we're going to have to go out, you know. We're going to have to go to Shelton.
We have to now, aren't we?
Not, not like, just not divvy it up. No, we'll take a couple of runs.
We're all celebrating. I think there was about 8 of us left at that point. We're all bouncing down, running down to the fucking thingy, high-fiving the jockey when he's off his way into the enclosure and that. Like,
yeah,
like, it was like, go on, Paddy, lad. He was called Paddy. So, and then we get walking out after the last race. I swear to God, Cootsie is sparring 2 Irish fellas. Body shots. He said he'd gone home 3 hours ago. So like, I'm thinking, what the fuck is going on? Cootsie, come on, like, get yourself home. So then we, 6 of us ended up going out. We got the bus from the race course into Cheltenham to Revs. Cootsie ran from the race course to the train station, full 3-piece with his brogues on. I think it's about, I don't know how far it was, 10K, I don't know, it might not have been 10K, 8K, just ran. Like Forrest Gump, fucking, there were lads. Apparently he told us that next day, people like were hanging on and then he just dusted them off and that. Ran the full lot. We looked at his phone the next day, 6 to 6:30, he'd done about 15,000 steps or something, you know, on his iPhone where he'd had his phone in his pocket. He ran to the train station and just jumped on the train, got himself home. So he was fine, he was home. Then we goes out. Anyway, we had train next day, but like 3 of us, we just got too giddy. Like, we didn't get home till about 5:30, back to Bristol. We had training at 11. And it was like three of us started at the weekend. Like, we're playing Northampton away. 30 seconds, one of the lads scores. We won 1-0. And Gaffer didn't make a sub. There was me, Aaron, Harry. Harry scored. I think there was about Cootsie started, Sam started. There was about 7 of the starting 11 that had been out.
See, that's what it's all about. I keep telling you, lads.
And it's funny because Harry scored after 30 seconds and Sam Finley's running, whipping his ass, jumping into the corner if you watch the goal. Like, but just the squad was just so together. It just clicked and it was unbelievable that last 4 or 5 months.
What he's done from 3:30 to
exactly
6
what
o'clock.
I was going to say. Where he's obviously heading for the exit. What happens from...
He's sidetracked, hasn't he?
But by strangers.
Someone's got his attention.
Somebody knows.
Yeah. But honestly, though, what, like... So them couple of times, whatever, when he's had a drink, but as a pro, he's an animal, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
What a fucking player.
Unbelievable, like, player.
In best nick, what were he at the time, 34? Like, you played with him when he was, like, what, 21, 22 at Preston? Mm. Absolutely flying, weren't he? What a player. What a captain. What a fella, like, animal. Just everything, intense, everything he does. Gym, fucking hammers the gym. Goes on a drink session, Ilama or whatever. Footy, he's just on it. You know what I mean? Like,
everything to extreme.
He ran like that whole dressing room. It was brilliant. And then like afterwards, like, I live with him and stuff, but you know, afterwards I speak to him near enough every single day. Like, and he's been, with everything that's happened in terms of my illness, he's been absolutely unbelievable. Speak to him all the time.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So that summer, obviously unbelievable end of the season, but you've been playing in pain, haven't you, since the Christmas? You had your knee pain.
Yeah, I had to be honest, a bit of a niggle. I thought it was a bit of a niggle. I was 26 and I'd played a few and I'd broke my left leg twice. So I just thought maybe I'm getting aches and pains kind of thing at that point. I did not think anything of it. I went back pre-season, did the first 4 days, bleep test, tough sessions that first week. Then I woke up on the Friday morning, about 5:30, knee was throbbing. Like, I had like a pulse there.
But you said you'd been sick the previous season.
Yeah, so there was a few things. Like, I was sick the previous, a little bit in the off season. I had a bit of random diarrhea for no reason. And I went back to pre-season, a couple of kilogram lighter than I was at the end. And my body fat was really low. Like, mine was never massively high, but I always went back in the amber. As I got past the age of 21, I was always in the amber, no matter what I did. Anyway, I was like proper shredded. So then I've tried to walk down the stairs that Friday morning, couldn't really walk. Went and bought a foam roller because I thought I had a fucking tight IT band. So I've been foam rolling stuff and that. Tried to foam roll it, nothing. We had a game that night against Melksham in like first pre-season game. So I rang the physio. I was like, listen, like something's kind of niggling here. Will you have a look at us? Went to see him. Looked at me. There was no sign of injury. Like there was no swelling around my knee. My range of movement was near enough the same in terms of like my heel to my bum. I'd not been in a tackle. I'd not jarred it, nothing. So, but he weren't so keen to send me for a scan because obviously usually you got to have an injury, haven't you? Mm. But to be fair to him, he sent me for a scan because I've seen him to do a little bit of rehab since, and he always says like he looked at me and he knew that I was in some serious pain. So he sent me. So I went for a scan. That was a Friday, drove home. Club doctor rang me on the Sunday, was meant to be flying to Portugal that night for pre-season, rang me up and said, can you come down to Bristol and bring your missus with you? I was like, all right. So then straight away then, I was like, something's pretty bad here.
But what can possibly be in your head to think what it is?
I said to my mum, listen, I think I've got cancer here. Like, just because of the way it all went, I was like, there's something has to be so serious that you have to drive down to Bristol to be told face to face. Like, even if I'd done my ACL and I was out for the season, they'd still tell me over the phone, wouldn't they? Mm. And to be fair to the doc, we drove down to the training ground. Traffic took us 4.5 hours. So I'm obviously sat there thinking, got to training ground, lads had flew to Portugal, sat us down a little bit like this, said, listen, like, you've got a tumour in your right femur above your knee. You've been referred for... to see a sarcoma specialist because that's what they suspected it was, osteosarcoma. And I was like, Jesus, like, my bird were 8 weeks pregnant at the time. And I had a little, Grace was 20 months, something like that.
8 weeks pregnant, that mate. You didn't shag her when you got in after your celebration, did you? No, in a hotel. No. That's about the summer period, isn't it?
No. I was, I don't know when it were, but it were. That was so.
I don't know what it was.
It definitely were that night. I was fucking asleep that night.
In your kit.
Yeah.
And I went.
So, but I had to have a biopsy first. Well, so Monday I had chest CT X-rays of my leg, of my body, because sarcoma usually spreads to your lungs and stuff. I had about 4 or 5 scans. So a specialist on the Tuesday, and I had a biopsy booked in for the Monday after that. So lads are in Portugal, but like Cootsie paid for us to fly out, like for me and Little and Mrs. to fly out there, paid for our flights, and I think the club paid for the hotel so we could go out for a couple of days to see him. It weren't looking good, like that was before the biopsy. I knew myself.
Did they say that as well? That, like,
no,
the likelihood?
They tried to be very optimistic, like, wait till you have the results kind of thing. But thankfully, the lot of scans I had, there was no sign of it anywhere else at the time. And there still hasn't been, hopefully, touch wood.
Still, until you get the results of the biopsy, you don't really know.
No. But because it was something that I never even thought of even entering my head. And I'd never been around family members or friends who'd had that, who'd had cancer. So it was like... It was just something completely new to me. And we had the biopsy, waited 3 weeks for the results.
Three weeks?
Yeah. 2-3 weeks, yeah. Yeah. So I had the biopsy on...
Where's your head at in them 3 weeks?
Well, I was just off. I was back up north, but... I mean, I grew up on like a farm and dairy background and that, so I was just driving tractors, for me dad and that. I just went driving tractors for like local contractors. It was silage time and all that. Like, I just went and did that. To keep me head.
Bit of escapism though.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. Like I just went and tried to keep my mind off it. Results came back and I got diagnosed with a low grade osteosarcoma. So the treatment for a low grade one is just an operation. So remove the tumour with a safe margin around the tumour. And the reoccurrence rate is like 5%. That's that. So then I thought, if anything, I know it sounds mad, but I was a little bit like, all right. So then the original plan was to take the bone out and put a donor bone in. So they had to wait for someone similar size to me, similar age to me to kind of die. The first op they were going to do was save my knee joint, remove that, put one in, the recovery would have been really, really long, longer than what I ended up having done. But that was in the chance of me maybe saving my career. So I had the op on the October the 5th. So I'd gone from August, September, just waiting for the op. Then they did a scan 5 days before, and the swelling around the tumour had gone too close to my knee joint. So they couldn't safely remove it without going towards my knee. So they just took a lot. So full knee replacement, 12 centimetres in my femur, replaced with aluminium. And they put my kneecap back on. So I got my own kneecap, but that was the op I had. So career was done then, there and then, without a shadow of a doubt. But it was still only thought to be low grade. So then they sent the tumour off to be tested. Came back, 10% of it had aggressive cells in it. So then that changed to a high grade osteosarcoma. So the treatment for that is, well, what they usually do with people who have it is, if they have a primary tumour, so it's not spread anywhere, they'll do 2 rounds of chemo. So it kills it from the outside and shrinks it a little bit, take it out, then another 4 rounds of it. So mine, because mine was already out, I needed to have the 6 rounds of it. So I'm thinking, fucking hell.
Like, this is escalating.
Oh yeah, in the space of, well, whenever Mary got promoted, back pre-season, last week of June, I didn't have a clue. So now, end of October, I got told I needed to have all this chemo. Career was done. I was not, well, obviously, I was bothered, but I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I was not bothered whatsoever. And for me, I'm happy with that because I was really happy with my career and I give it fucking everything. And I really enjoyed it. Like, I feel like if I'd have had some regrets, that would have been horrendous to deal with. But for me, happy with that. That's happy. Could not have gone out in a better way with that promotion. Yeah. Buzzed off it. So then as the chemo, anyway, then it's like, when it goes to high grade, it's like, whew, serious then.
The stuff start happening quicker then?
Well, to be fair, because of the footy, everything happened quick anyway. The wait for the donor bone was just purely because it was a low grade. But the fact that I was in footy, the private scan, this and that, everything happened sort of quickly. So I went into the chemo, no sign of cancer in my body. This chemo was purely to kill any cells that they couldn't see, could miss. And it was brutal, yeah. So I started that on the 29th of November, 2022. And I stayed in hospital nearly 70 nights.
Jeez, man.
And I had 6 rounds. And because I had no sign of anything in my body, so the chemotherapy consisted of 3 drugs. And then because I had no sign of anything in my body, I qualified to have this other treatment as well on top of it, which was classed as an antibiotic. So the antibiotic was, for the first 12 weeks, was twice a week, 1 hour infusion. Twice a week for 12 weeks. And then for 24 weeks, it was a 1 hour infusion once a week. So that started the same time as the chemo. So the chemo, I had 6 rounds. It was week one, stayed in 2 nights, had these 2 drugs called cisplatin and doxorubicin, stayed in for 2 nights, came home. Then, so that's week one. Week two, week three, I didn't have anything, but I was still going back twice a week to have this other one. I didn't have to stay in overnight for that one. So then week four of a cycle, I'd have something called methotrexate. I'd have to stay in 4 nights. I'd have a big bag of chemo. And then I'd spend 3 days literally on fluids. I've got a port in my chest still. I'm still good at it. So basically it's 2 little holes there and it goes up there. And then it goes around into here and that's where everything gets pumped in. So the methotrexate weeks four and week five, I'd be in 4 nights week four. 4 nights, week five, straight back into it, week one again. So I ended up...
Oh, so that's one round?
That's one round. So the first 4 rounds of chemo were 5 weeks each, but back to back. Mm. And then the last two were 4 weeks each because I dropped one of the chemo drugs because I wasn't... You're not allowed 1 more milliliter of that drug in your body for the ones I had to have. But like, unfortunately for me, like going into it, I had no idea what I was in for. And... They had it in the Christie in the hospital and they were absolutely brilliant with me. But like you meet so many people, families, peoples with all different sorts of cancers and different treatments. But like my treatment for sarcoma was so intense because it's so like rare and aggressive. But the treatment was in terms of chemos go in the world, it's what that particular one together is one of the toughest you can have, like, for anything in the world, because sarcoma is that rare that the research, they don't have that much funding.
So they have to make sure.
Yeah, but the treatment's been similar, probably the same for 30 odd years has been the same.
Right. Tough as in pain, like, what's the pain like doing
just
it?
Just intense. Oh, like, so it basically the aim of it is just to kill all your cells in your body, good and bad. So that's why you heard cells get killed first. So, but basically it just blasts you and just kills you. If you have enough of it, it'll kill you. So that's why I wasn't allowed any more of one particular drug. But as the cycles went on, like, I'd go in every day, I'm in. So you go in week one, you have this treatment, then it slowly works, and then, you know, your immune system goes like that. And then when just as you start to feel a little bit better, they blast you again.
Go again.
So overall, like, it's just killing you and killing you and killing you, just to kill any sort of cells, good and bad. But, like, you can get infections from anything because you have no immune system.
Yeah.
So I had a couple of infections. I got sepsis in April. And then after that, Isabel had give birth to our son in the January. So I'd started my treatment November. So he was born in the Jan, but today, January the 10th. She had a C-section, so I had to knock my treatment back for a day so I could go to the birth. And then the day he was born, the night, I went and stayed at my mum's and then went in for 4 nights. Every night I was at home, I stayed downstairs out of the way just so I could have a bit of a sleep. For 6 months until when my chemo finished, I got home actually off my last bag of chemo on the 1st of July. But I'd probably say May and June, I started staying at my mum's because I couldn't afford to get any sort of infection again, because I'd had neutropenic sepsis in the April, and for a couple of days I was in a pretty bad way with that. One night where I thought, this could be it, like, nurses come around and said, like, you're really ill, like, if these antibiotics don't work, because I had an infection, but they didn't know what my infection was. So the first time I had an infection in March, I woke up, had a temp, rang the Christie, went in, stayed in overnight, a couple of nights. Didn't know what my infection was. Came home, that was fine, carried on with my chemo. The second time, I had another temp. But I thought, right, so I rang Christy and said, can I go to Preston? Like, because you have, if your temp's high, they do this at 1 hour rule, where if you get in within the hour, you have to be put on these antibiotics, because that's just how the cure that you have to have. Anyway, I get into Preston, absolutely rammed. Just randomly don't take us through. Say, like, you've got to wait. I was like, I've just been told that. Anyway, so I kind of said, listen, like, I think I've got sepsis. I could have sepsis. Mm. I've got an infection. I need a thing. No, I can't get it through. So fella in the waiting room, this is a little bit mad, this. Fella in the waiting room, he was obviously poorly. He started having a stroke in the waiting room, right? So he falls off the chair and starts frigging. So my mum stands up and says, fuck this, we're going, as in going to Christie. So I've stood up and just collapsed because I'd seen that happen, but I was obviously quite very poorly.
Yeah.
Rushed me through, did everything, took all my bloods and that, came back. So my neutrophils, which is what fights your infections, it's meant to be 3 or above. That's yours will be within, mine will be now. Mine was 0.003. So I literally had no immune system. So my temp 39 and I had no way of fighting whatever infection I had. They never did know what infection I had. So first night I stayed in A&E in a side room. My mum stayed, to be fair. I slept with her ECG thing on. Like, my resting heart rate was about just under 100. And mine now would be 60-odd, 60 a year. Was literally, had the runs about 15 times in the night. Like, I was in a bad way. Like, I thought that was it, kind of thing. And you know, the next day the nurses come to me and said, like, took me up to the cancer ward at Preston and put me in a separate room out of the way and said, listen, you're not allowed to leave until your temp comes below, until your neutrophils and your blood and your blood get back to normal. And it took 7 days. I was in there. Jesus. Out of the way, yeah.
What kept you going?
It was just, it's weird, actually. It's the first time I've proper, like, spoken about anything about it, really, to the public, if you will. But it's because I've finished now and I've been, touch wood, hopefully it stays away, but I've had 6 months now, probably a normal life. I don't know how I've done it. Like, I don't know how. I mean, I remember at the time saying, like, my children and stuff, because like everybody was unbelievable. Like the support I got from my family, friends, public was absolutely brilliant. But like, I don't know, every day I just went. I mean, after Isabel had George had him 5 weeks into the treatment, my mum came to the hospital every day in the Christie and sat with me for about 8 hours, 10 hours a day. Took me there, brought me back.
She probably didn't need to say anything, just the fact that she was there. You knew she was there.
I mean, it got to the point I was in that much at the Christie that, like, I know all the nurses and the doctors and that.
Are you just feeling like shit?
Yeah. As it got in more, like, I couldn't really eat so much and then I'd be able to eat. It was like, I used to get these really bad mouth sores. So I don't know if I think it's methotrexate is the one that does it. The mouth, I'm talking like I've got a picture, like, look at my back of my mouth, the dangly thing, and that's like white and black. Like my tongue was swollen, like I couldn't swallow. I don't mind talking about it. This is a bit brutal, whatever, but when I had the sepsis and that, my mouth could not even chew or swallow food, was that bad. And I had all them ulcers like on my behind and that. I was in a fucking pickle. And it's like, I don't know, I look back now and to see people that have to have chemo anyway or go through cancer and families and people, it's just fucking unbelievable what you see and what you learn about. But like, for sarcoma, the treatment's been the same for that long. It's so brutal that, you know, it needs more research. It needs more fucking money put on it, because the side effects, like, I'd have random nosebleeds. Like, thankfully, I'd never needed blood transfusions and stuff, but people who have had my treatment had to have blood transfusions. Like, every day, every week you go back in for chemo, you'd have to have a blood test. If your levels weren't at a certain level, you weren't safe to have that chemo. So you had to go back for another week. So it's like, the statistics, for instance, is 25% reoccurrence for me, for it to come back. But them statistics are if you have the 28 weeks of chemo week to week, yeah? That's the best, that's what they go off. If your body's not fit to have it, you have to go home for another week. So therefore your chances of, you know what I mean? Mm. It's not going to plan kind of thing. So I was very, very fortunate, I think, that I was only delayed 3 weeks overall.
Yeah, obviously what you had to go through physically, but then that the mental and emotional thing you've had to go through as a dad, of a newborn, having a newborn there, and possibly you might not get to spend time with them, but yet spending time with them could potentially bring an end to your life.
Yeah, it was, I mean...
I imagine that I don't know how you could...
I mean, I didn't have a choice, do you know what I mean? Mm. That is the only... I know people, you hear people come out and stuff, and I know it's a different thing, but I've watched quite a bit of things with Ashley Kane, you know, and he lost his daughter to cancer and that. And you see how he is and stuff like that. And he's from the other side of it. But like, I'm sure he said something like, you don't have a choice. Like, I didn't have a choice. There was, I literally, in order for me to hopefully not come back or whatnot, I had to do everything like that. First 6 months, I didn't see him too much, really. It's only really been the last 4 or 5 months that I've spent time with him. But like, I had to stay away because Grace was at nursery. So it's like, she's come back with a snotty nose or like, you know, and you can't stop a child from having a childhood. Mm. And like, she always says like, Daddy, have you got Paulie knee? Like, you know, and it's like, now she's like, you had something taken out of your knee, like you were Paulie and stuff. And it's like, you used to play football and that. But I used to go in on a Tuesday. And she'd go to nursery on a Tuesday, but she'd like, she's potty trained and stuff, but she'd like act really off and like have to change in knickers 3 times because something was wrong, you know, because on her mind, she knew. And as it got towards the end, Izzy would ring me and I'm in there and she wouldn't talk to me on the phone because I weren't there. Like, this is Grace, who's like, she was 2 at the time. And it's like, and I just had to stay away just because I didn't have a choice really, like, and the mental side of things was horrendous. It still is for me. Like, I'm just going to be straight. It's awful. The paranoia that I have, or the anxiety that I knew mental things, you know, you hear depression and anxiety and stuff, and I was always like laughing and joking all the time. And I say, like, you know, I used to get like banter and all that, like with Cootsie and stuff, for instance. Like, that's just the way I am, that's my character. I was always happy, I always am. But the anxiety, I never knew it was a thing. Like, obviously I did, but like I'd never truly experienced it. But there's times since the treatment and when I was having it that like I get in panics and that. Like I'll get in the shower and I'll start like fiddling around thinking, oh my God, like,
what's that?
Why am I aching there? Like, oh my God, I've got a gland here. Like, and just go mental for about an hour. Just start prodding myself everywhere and that. But I guess I'm not alone, do you know what I mean? People who actually experience it and go through it. And, you know, at this moment in time, I'm very, very fortunate because I'm still here. And my first lot of scans showed no sign of active disease, but I've had another one this morning, so that's my other 6 month one.
So it's every 6 months now?
For a couple of years, I think it's every 6 months and then it goes to a year.
Must have been horrendous for your missus as well.
Mm.
She must have been through the mill and all.
I don't understand really how she's done it. We stayed at her mum and dad's quite a bit. She has a couple of brothers and a sister and stuff, and they were really helpful, and my mum and my auntie and stuff, and, you know, it were tough, but we had their extended family, her grandparents and Nan and Paps and everything like that. It was everybody kind of mucked together and stuff. But like you're saying, for me, like, that's me reflecting on like how it was. But at the time, I was just in like some mad trance. I was just in a zone where like, yeah, I knew I felt shy. I knew this with that. But like, I just had to keep like ticking the weeks off. Like, I used to go in on a Tuesday and I know I'm not getting home till the Saturday. And it's like I was on the ward. First night I was stayed in was on the ward. So it was, there's like, I don't know, say 18 beds. No, yeah, I think there's 14 on this bit. So it's like you're opposite each other kind of thing, but you have a curtain and then there's three or four side rooms. People who are poorly have the side rooms, or women have the side rooms. And this lad had a side room. I don't know his name. I don't know. This is my first night in. And he's screaming all through the night. Like, I don't wanna die and all that. And I'm thinking, holy shit, like, this is fucking real. And that was my first night in, and I thought, like, I'm gonna have to proper give it, you know, to get through it kind of thing. And it's, you know, it's a thing that I never wanted to ever happen, but hopefully it's done its job, because it's absolutely fucking horrendous.
Are you speaking to anybody? Can you get help on that?
You know what? I have been in touch with the PFA, and I have been speaking to, I've been and seen a counsellor a few times, yeah. For the first few months, I didn't. But it just got to the point where I was just going,
just need the right tools to.
I just kind of needed to go to somebody who didn't know me, didn't know anything. I'd never done anything like that before. I'd never thought of doing it before.
I'd never had to go through anything.
Well, like what you had to go through. No, I just somebody who wasn't, you know, didn't know anything. Just someone who could listen or give me advice about certain things. But yeah, she's been really good. I've seen her five times now, so she's been brilliant. But it was like saying, family and friends just kind of pulled together. But I was just in a zone. It gives me pretty bad, like, because I went back this morning. It's the first time I've been back since September, because that second treatment was 36 weeks. The chemo were 28, the second were 36. So my last one of that was September the 12th, I think. So this morning, it's the first time I've been back to that hospital since then. And even just going in, like, the smell, like, the smell would be just mad.
Just bring everything back.
Oh, just everything, yeah. Like, every time, like, this poor thing would have to get accessed every time I go in, I'd be hooked up to the pumps for 72 hours, easy. But it became my life, and I don't know. It's mad really talking about it. It's quite emotional. It is a bit. I nearly started crying before, but it's like, It became the normal for me. It was, I knew what I had to do. I just tried to give myself the best chance, because, like, I'm very fortunate in terms of, like, I fucking love my life. Do you know what I mean? Like, I absolutely buzz being here. So it's like, if I had to drag myself out of bed all the time to go and stay there for 4 or 5 nights and have the infections and that and whatever, then I had to do it. And, you know, I hope it's done its job kind of thing, because They will. You know, that you look at like that and it's like, yeah, I've had a fantastic time playing footy and, you know, everyone has unbelievable laughs and stuff like that, but that's just nothing, that is it.
No.
You know what I mean?
It's just completely irrelevant. Different, like, even sat, you know, I'm like,
yeah.
So I want to speak about all your teammates at Bristol raised a lot of money for you, didn't they, with the shaving the head and...
Yeah, so it was, I think it was Coots's idea, because obviously I knew I had to retire from my operation, but I was still under contract and no one knew. Like, I'd post the odd thing on socials, but I could never play again. I didn't have career-ending insurance. So I that was it. I just get my 25 grand off the PFA and that was that, like, kind of go out and... But, you know, thankfully for us, I had critical illness on my mortgage. So what I owed on my mortgage, I got paid. So it's like, for anyone who's listening or does want to listen, that is a biggie, if you can get that, because you never fucking know. And that took the pressure off for last year. But, you know, I'm looking to get back into a job, whatever sort of place I can. Footy, I want to get back into footy. But Cootsie, the lads, it was an idea to kind of create a GoFundMe thing for me, just because, you know, well, I had nothing to kind of go back to. I had no qualifications as such, other than what you do when you're a scholar. But, and yeah, they all shaved their head on the 16th for Jan, obviously, because I was number 16. So all shaved their head, chucked a bit of money in. It kind of got some coverage, like, you know, Joey pushed it. Lads with a bit of following, the club pushed it. All the fans kind of got on it. Like, I could never explain to you how many messages I've had, and from all football fans and all public and stuff, and people who've messaged me from other countries who've been going through it or know someone who's going through it. But the football fans, but, you know, Bristol Rovers fans were special in terms of...
Saw the videos on the 16th minute.
Yeah, like, standing up. It was, yeah, they clapped 16th minute still at the Mem and stuff. And I saw it, it was mad because I got diagnosed and like Aaron held a shirt up. And it's like, and you watch it and you think, fucking hell, I only played for you for a year. Do you know what I mean? And just how they were with me was just, well, everybody in general and the lads, like, you know, like Mangy came to see me in the Christie, I speak to him all the time. Just people proper, like lads I'd played with at other clubs came to see me while I was having treatment. I was in there for 4 or 5 days, like Liam Feeney come see me. Michael Nottingham, Dean Furman. I'm trying to think, I probably missed a few out. A couple of my mates from home, Mangs came.
And imagine that did give you a boost at the time, because it puts a spotlight on how much people care.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Like, it was unbelievable. But yeah, to go back to that, yeah, they raised that money and it were brilliant because it's just kind of taking the pressure off us in terms of, you know, two young kids, and she was obviously on maternity leave. She'd just had a little, and it was a bit of a fucking mental time. But everybody at the club, Joey was brilliant in terms of, you know, from when it happened, couldn't have been any more sounder. You know, the flamethrower had gone. You know what I mean? So he was like, because that we'd achieved something that season before, and then it happened so quickly after, it was just like, everyone kind of made me feel like, you know what, you've kind of fucking grafted. Do you know what I mean? Like, with Earthy kind of thing. And it was emotional, but...
The thing is, even if you didn't get promoted or you didn't have their memories, they know what you're like as a lad and they'll have still done it anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so many people or help that have been there that I can't even remember. I mean, going back to the treatment, like the side effects, like my memory's shot to bits, other than like the stuff that I've fully studied, like that season, I've gone back through the stories in my head thousands of times. But like certain things I just forget.
Do you ever get angry? Or did you get angry? Or why the fuck is this happening?
A bit.
To me?
I mean, I was angry, but then when you get in there and you're in the, you know, you go to the Christie and you like go down to the clinic and like, you've seen people, I was in the adult bit. So I think if you're under 24, I think you're allowed to go into like the children's side of things. I was in the adults bit and like, you walk around the hospital and you see some people. And I became, because I was there that much, like I've been on the ward with people who are not here now with the same thing as me. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, I was, a little bit. But then when you go in and you witness what everyone has to go through and you see the family members coming in and then like children coming in to see the dads and that, or like thanking the nurses because they've finished the treatment. And it's like, you just sometimes think it's just like a mad dream. But it weren't. It got to a point where 2 or 3 months after I'd finished, if I opened my eyes in the morning, or last month or so of my treatment, if I opened my eyes in the morning, I was fucking buzzing. Like, just that's how I had to look at every day. And it's just a big... That happens to people's lives and families. And I know it's very, very deep and stuff. And I appreciate you allowing me to have a chat with you about it and stuff. But that's just me being straight up honest of how everything's been. And
I think it's massively inspiration. I know you've not asked to be an inspiration, but I think people watching and possibly family members or themselves going through the same thing, I think it's massively inspirational of us.
Thank you, because like I never once at all of you know I wanted to come on and chat 40 and talk about this. I'm happily open to talk about everything that's happened. I have no issues with it, because I know that when I'd spoken to people, like I met like called Brad, and it was his last cycle, and I spoke to him, what men expect him, how's it going to be, what's this going to happen kind of thing, it helped me massively. So like if people, it's not just sarcoma, for any sort of cancers, any sort of treatments, like if you put your, well, this is the thing, because sometimes it doesn't work, you know, people, it happens, but you can get yourself in a place where you just got to give it everything. Like, It's so sad, but so life. It's just how it is. And you go in, like the Christie specialises, it's just literally cancer treatment in the whole hospital. Everybody in the, well, patients is for cancer and stuff, and it's all different ages. You know, I was in the adult side, like I said, but it's just something that I never expected, but it just happened to happen to me, and it was, it's still happening. You know, it's going to happen for the rest, however long I live, it's always going to be going on in my head and my family's, maybe, yeah, definitely my family's life. Hopefully my children never, I mean, I know they may, because I played footy and stuff, but I don't want them to ever think and remember it, but it's always in people's lives what we've been through, especially me own, in terms of, I'll never be able to probably forget about it properly. It's always, every single day I think about it all the time.
But are you looking forward? Are you, you know, yeah. Today was a big milestone.
Yeah. I'm definitely, now that I've, into the new year, I want to get back into like work and
get what's it you want to do?
I just want to get back into footy, to be honest. I'd really love to be in and around the lads coaching, if that's possible. But I do quite enjoy going, I mean, I've been into a couple of clubs to talk to people, but I'm a little bit raw, to say the least. I'd have to speak to someone who specialises in that sort of motivational talks or like keynote speeches and stuff, because I have no issues with talking about things to people. Like Beachy got me to go into Fylde, just because he was my manager beforehand at Carlisle, just text me, you know, because I kept in contact with him quite a lot through the treatment, and he come to see me a couple of times, and it's like, what are you doing? I said, well, no, why do you fancy coming in to chat to the lads? Like, I think it'll be good for them and good for you. I just kind of spoke in terms of how, what's happened, like my career before it, what's happened, and how I took what I had in my career into my treatment, and how I would attack my career now if I'd have had the treatment before, if I could still play, linked it to kind of football in terms of your mindset and your mentality in terms of getting through out or trying to achieve something to win something. I really enjoy doing that, but I do think I've got a lot to offer to a group of players, whether it be 18s, 23s, or even first team lads, because like now how I look at anything, I'm not really affected by anything. Like people's opinions about if I was to be in a job, or, you know, that football's just full of opinions of everybody, isn't it? You know, everybody and his dog has an opinion. But if I was in a situation or like leading a team, in terms of, you just got to try and get those players into that mindset where you can do anything you want and you can achieve what you want, you know what I mean? And I enjoy, I mean, I'm going on to, I'm doing my badges in terms of, I've got onto my B, because I need to do my B now. and I'm starting that. Well, I'm actually meeting the fella tomorrow to start that out. But just something where I can, I need something to occupy me as well at the same time.
Yeah. But some perspectives as well that you can, that you said before, you give everything. You give everything to you, but and you're proud of that and you're thankful that you did that. And being able to give, put that experience forward to other young lads, that's something massive that you can.
I mean, I was nowhere near the best player. I played League One, League Two in Conference in a fucking stretch. I had to work hard for it. You know, I wasn't massively talentedly gifted in terms of ripping it up. Could have just rolled out of bed and gone and played in the champ. But so that's why I'm pretty happy with, in terms of regrets wise. I mean, I don't have any regrets in terms of the effort that I put into my career. I think if I did, I'd be in a lot worse place mentally, because my career's over with and I can't change that now. Yeah. But I don't have any regrets in my career. And the last season of my life was the best of my career by a million miles. And I met people who are friends for life, do you know what I mean? So, but it's life, man. I can't do it by now.
Be proud of yourself, mate.
Even just talking about it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's helped me talking from day one. I mean, I know people can't talk about certain situations in their lives because they feel uncomfortable, but to me, if I bottled all this up, I don't know, I don't think I'd be here.
I think it's easily done. I think a lot of people would.
Yeah.
That's what we do, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I just thought to myself from the off, like, I'm just going to give it a right go. Do you know what I mean?
I said, it's just a massive inspiration. And not just that, your family as well. Mm-hmm. Your missus, you know, somebody might be watching that, just living proof that you can get through it and your family can get through it.
It was...
You don't know how. You don't know how.
I mean, listen, there's up and down days of it. It's real tough, as you can imagine. But I think if anyone is going through any sort of thing, you just have to stick together and this is whole families, not just relationships. Because at the end of the day, you're just after the one thing, aren't you? You know, to get better. And you just got to try and thingy. But I couldn't. That's been me for the last 2 years nearly now. And I took a lot from my career, just getting into it and going into the treatment and stuff like that, I feel.
A lot of strength.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like I said beforehand, I took stuff to heart when I played because I could, do you know what I mean? And I always wanted the best for other people. I was never selfish, cunt. I always wanted the best for the team and my teammates and anybody. So, yeah, it was one of them. But, like, some lads, like, I know we laugh and joke and stuff, and for example, like Cootsie and that, like, you were unbelievable as a bloke. But hey, I'm here, innit? So that's all that matters.
And your Barnett's come back strong.
Well, I need my fullbacks put in.
I won't say strong.
Hey,
I won't play that formation.
It was like this before, but yeah, it's come back. But
that's fucking Bristol at home to Scunthorpe. Yeah. We've got your two centre-halves here and these lads are fucking bomb on. Go. That's fucking a 7-0 if ever I've seen one.
I tell you what, when I was having it, as I got towards the end, I did not have one hair on my body anywhere. I literally could get out of the shower and drip and I'd be dry within a minute. Nothing anywhere.
Yeah.
Oof. No, mate.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well done, thanks, mate. Thanks for
sharing everything as honestly as you have done.
Cheers for having me. I've enjoyed it, yeah. Sorry it got a bit...
Don't be daft.
Appreciate you coming on and being so honest. You're welcome, mate. Cheers.
All right, fellas. Thank you.
Told you, didn't we? What a story.
What a guy.
You look inspired, sat there.
Yeah.
Inspired pause.
I'll be honest, it's the closest I've come. I was choking up at one point, you know, talking about family and everything. It was.
Yeah, that was it.
Is chucking up in Bolton a different thing to chucking up in Barnsley? Because if you're chucking up in Barnsley, you've been sick.
Yeah, I didn't feel nauseous.
Choking up.
I thought you said chucking.
No, I wasn't chucking anything up.
Oh, choking sorry. Up. Sorry, I didn't hear you correctly. I'm sure chucking up in Barnsley has been sick. But no, I tell you what, don't get spoken about as much as what it probably should. Like, how outrageous the swing were. Mm. Bristol on the last day of the season.
Yeah.
7 goals.
I thought he just had a really good park then. I didn't know what you were on about.
Oh, what, the swing?
Yeah.
Or a nice little sex then.
Yeah, never really got... I mean, I don't think I was get to mention
the Preston. Chris,
but no, yeah. I know, but then ours was theirs was even better than ours.
Ours were a what, 12, 11, 13 goal swing?
Yeah, in the last few games. But a 7 goal swing on the last day of the season. Yeah. That's unbelievable.
That's like, if it's abroad, you're asking questions, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, when in England, should we be asking questions?
I'll tell you what else hasn't been spoken about enough. How tidy this house is.
can we get a close-up on this puffy?
I mean, the dinner table still hasn't been clean, but everything else.
I'm not saying it's tidy. I'm saying it's tidier.
It's because...
There's half a curd of rice down here.
There'll definitely be toast, crusts and that, but...
Did somebody got in touch? Did you see a cleaning company got in touch?
Yeah.
Leeds-based as well.
The thing is, I feel a bit, you know, I feel awkward if it's really messy. Because then they'd go back and go, oh, his house is a disgrace.
To be fair, my missus cleans up before cleaner comes.
Yeah.
I think it's just totally pointless.
I thought she was keen on clean. Why do you need a cleaner? Just for a bit of polishing and that.
Well, she works Thursday, Fridays, right? So I'm off Thursdays, obviously. So I've got to do upstairs. She only has upstairs done. We only have upstairs done. And I'm like, nah, I don't want to do it.
So do you pay for cleaner?
Yeah.
So you have nothing to do on a Friday, Thursday, sorry.
I would play golf. Well, when before my knee was bad.
So you're not even that excuse now.
No, it's not an excuse. I do not want to do it. It's no excuse.
Sometimes in life, you've got to do things you don't want to do, John.
I do not want to be cleaning sinks and toilets and that.
Well, I think it's quite therapeutic. Bit of headspace, yeah.
Once I get going, yeah. I'm unstoppable, but it's just the getting going.
not just the cleaning either,
the
is it?
Going's not happened for a while, has it?
It does take us a while to get going. But when I do, I agree. Therapeutic.
Yeah.
Nah. But I've got you to thank, Dave. I made an effort for you coming because Matty's away.
I can get a nothing like Churchill dog, isn't it? Back at Garth. I don't want to be cleaning toilets and all that shit. So
by the way, as well, I have noticed the amount of comments that are saying you're looking fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't think
I'm sure you've noticed. John. You're looking good.
I don't think fantastic.
Lean.
Lean, I'll take lean.
You're feeling better?
Cleaner. No, I'm fucked. Absolutely shattered.
No, but in yourself. No. I know you're going to ache and stuff after you've been spinning hard, but
no, I feel
in
like
yourself.
Shit.
I think you've been better. I think you're more...
Yeah, you've got more energy, clarity.
The erection's been noticed.
Has it?
Oh,
that's good news.
Oh, God bless
It's all
you.
Worthwhile, what, isn't it?
External comments. External comments, well, not just...
Only from one person.
Yeah, fucking but I mean...
You're talking to the wrong man here.
I mean, not just yourself. I mean, you've not just been giving yourself... Oh, he's looking good, sturdy.
When I mentioned it...
Build the bridge up.
She said, yeah. So...
Oh.
Are you putting a good shift in?
Oh, no, the time frame's not... the time frame's not changed.
Stamina not in...
Time frame's not changed. It's just still... Sharp.
Short
and sharp.
Sweet and sharp, yes.
Yeah, I think I'm about £20 down now.
Well done. Going. Proud of you, John.
You're not. You don't give a fuck.
I am.
I think
you're looking good.
Thanks.
You don't take praise well, do you?
Yeah, you're better off saying you can't tell.
Yeah.
You need to keep going, you fat shit.
Yeah.
Fat shit.
You get a better reaction. See, you're smiling. You've just been called a fat shitter. You're smiling.
I tell you what, I did get a bit of stick for last night. You know, when we went to Leicester last week and you shaved me back. Just, you get this on camera, Dave. Where'd you stop?
You got the captain's armband.
Where'd you stop with the arms? do I need to blend in or not?
So
I'm there, look.
This is the problem I have with my front. Because you can't... Do you blend?
So that's me. What do I do here?
I think damp the elbow.
Eh?
Definitely.
Yeah.
But then I've just got the exact same problem, elbow down, haven't I?
I know, but you can, like, fade it in.
Fucking hell.
Get a guard on the
way. I'll have to go to one at Turks. What do you want, sir?
Butcher.
What do you want, sir? You couldn't just blend me right in my left arm, could you? Not as bad on that one, because you can't tell as much.
Have a 1.5 on my bicep, right, please, mate.
Can I get a skin fit on my right arm? So
that's the same issue I've got with my front, because I whipped it off once and then I thought, oh, I'll do the stomach again. But my chest was like a welcome mat. It's just square.
Do the chest bit and all?
No, I get in trouble.
Well, just do it. Why? Just trim it down,
Rose
then.
Rose says, don't shave it off. She likes it as it is.
Just do it down to a 2 then.
But look, yeah. That's what I've been trying to do, but I haven't got the skills to pull it off.
You can do it all down to a 2.
You need a guard on there. Get the guard on.
Yeah, I've got a guard.
Take it down to an AstroTurf.
Yeah.
I mean, don't put the video on, but just play that fart. Play it right down the mic. I think it's one of the best I've ever heard, like, in terms of volume.
Is this for today or Friday Club?
Both.
Oh.
So just the type of content that you can look forward to in Friday Club.
If you've not been listening to Friday Club every Friday, just on audio. So Spotify, Apple.
So this is on...
And all other podcast providers.
This is on Ring Doorbell.
We've been saving life. Oh.
You're about to pull a Dairy Brown in your granny car. It's actually like...
It gets more impressive every time.
I'll just replay it.
So don't skip a beat, though. Just carries on with conversation. It sounds like one of them fart machines.
It's actually like...
It's a corker, isn't it?
It's double, two Katie both barrels of
it. Is it Katie you're talking to?
Yeah.
She doesn't like that an eyelid either.
Didn't even raise an eyebrow.
Just put like family group chat. This is what I've got to live with.
That has been value for money, that doorbell, hasn't it?
It's annoying, right?
But anyway, thanks everybody for watching. And thanks once again for everybody who signed up to Patreon recently.
Yes.
I hope you're enjoying all them extra episodes. We've got 2 a month coming out.
Somebody actually asked, when is...
Are you still going on with farts?
Another one.
Save the farts.
I've got another one.
Somebody actually sent... It wasn't an aggressive message, but it was a, when is Michael Mifsud out? Surely it's coming out because Coventry are playing Man United.
Yeah.
But I said, oh no, it's about 2 seconds.
That's the dogs.
I like the build up.
You can skip the video, you know.
It's not that one.
Let us know when you get it. But I said, no. Just pause it a second. I said, it's been out a couple of weeks on Patreon.
Yeah,
and he sent a message straight back, apologies, you've just got yourself a new subscriber. Oh. So there's a lot of people out there don't even know it exists.
We'll have a clip of that one out for just before the game.
Play the fart, John.
I'm looking for a...
We'll be here all night.
We'll save it
for Friday Club.
Oh, I think so I've got it.
If you do want to hear John's second fart,
I've got it.
Oh, that's a ripper. Oh.
That sounded... Did you follow through with it?
That sounded wet.
I've just been spinning, so I've got a sweaty crack.
No, but thanks everybody for watching and listening. And we'll see you next week.
Yep, thank you very much.
See ya.